you ask, where did all that matter come from? Well, people often say that. And this is like a bit of a detective story, because when I was at school, we were always taught that matter was conserved. You couldn't get rid of it. You couldn't make it. You couldn't get rid of
it. Right.
And that's what chemists believe a couple of hundred years ago, that, you know, atoms were indestructible, and that was it. The universe came to a certain number of them, and it was fixed. We now know that's not correct. You can make matter in the lab, and people do this all the time. There are these giant machines called particle accelerators, and very often they'll accelerate, say, electrons or protons to close to the speed of light and slam them into targets or into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, all sorts of new subatomic particles are created from the energy. And Einstein, again, gave us the key to this. His famous formula, E equals mc squared,
right.
Says energy and mass are one and the same thing. And if you concentrate enough energy, you can make new particles of matter. You can make protons or electrons or whatever it is that you like. So we don't have to start out with the universe having the matter being present, so long as it had the energy to make the matter. Now you can say, well, where did that energy come from? People inevitably ask that question. And this is where it gets really interesting, because ask how much matter the universe contains. I can tell you it's about 10 to the power 50 tons. That's 1 followed by 50 zeros in tons. Okay, that's a big number.
That's a huge number.
So now we can, but we can sort of tot up, you know, how much everything weighs, and that's what it comes out at. And now, then you apply E equals mc squared, and you get a gargantuan number for the total energy
for
that mass. But now it gets interesting, because the matter is not the only source of energy in the universe. There are other things like electromagnetic fields, but in particular, there's the gravitational field. Gravity is energy. For example, imagine that that you could descend on the solar system, you were some supergiant, and you could pluck the Earth out from its orbit around
mm-hmm.
the sun. Well, you'd have to pull rather hard to pull it away from the sun, because it's trapped by the sun's gravity. Otherwise, we just whiz off across the galaxy. So you've got to work to pull the solar system apart. And what that tells you is that the energy of the solar system is a little bit less than it would be if it was disassembled and those bodies were just floating freely. And you can add up what that energy amounts to for the solar system, for the galaxy, and for the universe as a whole. Everything's pulling on everything else with gravity. So you can sort of do the calculation. Imagine you wanted to pull the whole universe to bits and separate everything so that it was unaffected by all the other particles. How much work would you have to do? How much energy would you have to put in? And it turns out it's exactly the same as the energy of all that matter. In other words, that the total amount of energy in the gravity of the universe is the exact negative of the total amount of energy in all the matter. So you put 1 minus 1 together and you get 0. The total energy of the universe, when you add all the contributions in, is 0. And so it now seems less mysterious, because if the total energy of the universe is nothing, then to have the universe come from nothing is really no big deal. And all that's happened is that, on the one hand, particles of matter have been created, but they've been paid for, so to speak, by their negative gravitational energy.
Well,
so the sums all come out.
When there was the Big Bang, was it an explosion of light? I mean, if one were witnessing it, what would they see?
Certainly, if you trace back this heat radiation I've been talking about, it would become light radiation at an earlier time, and then go back to, say, 1 second after the Big Bang, and it's already so energetic that it would be like gamma radiation, and so you go on. It's more and more energetic the farther back you go. And we distinguish between what is often called the early universe, say from about a microsecond onwards.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very ambitious, going back thinking about the physics of the first microsecond. But actually, it's no big deal, because these particle accelerators I've been talking about are capable of reconstructing the physics that went on. Not only at a microsecond, but at a trillionth of a second after the beginning. So we can directly access the physics. We can create sort of little mini patches in the lab of what the universe would have been like at a microsecond or even a billionth of a second after the beginning. So we talk about the very early universe, but that's the early universe. Then there's the very early universe, which is more ambitious and much more speculative, a time about a trillionth of a second after the Big Bang. And if you ask me, what would you see then the prevailing view is you would see virtually nothing, because the universe at that stage was undergoing a huge pulse of accelerated rapid expansion called inflation. And this has been the standard picture now since about the mid-80s, that the universe began in some way we don't quite know, but that shortly after its beginning, it leapt in size by a stupendous factor. And during this period of time, because anything that was there before would have been so diluted,
right,
it was effectively empty. So if you want to start running the cosmic movie from the end of that inflation, then there would have been a huge burst of radiation. Light would be the wrong word for it, because it would be much more energetic than
okay.
visible light, but it's the same stuff, you know.
Yeah.
When it cooled down, it became light. So that's the sort of picture we've got, that a beginning, which is still somewhat mysterious, an inflationary leap where everything became very smooth and very empty, and then the energy of that inflation dumped into matter and light, and from then on it sort of unfolded according to the standard picture of superparticles and light and everything cooling down, and eventually atoms forming and stars and galaxies.
If you were to put the universe down on a map on the floor, a huge map on the floor, and you had Earth down there, how far would we be, and if I'm asking this right, Paul, how far would we be from where it began? 4.5 billion light years from that Big Bang? Does
well,
that make sense?
Think that it, first of all, you mustn't imagine that it happened at one place. The Big Bang was everything. It was everywhere. Every part of the universe was part of that Big Bang. So we're not looking at a particular direction in the sky for where the center was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when we say the universe is expanding, it's not expanding away from a fixed point in the middle. Everything's moving away from everything else. You imagine a whole lot of people holding hands in a ring, and then they're told to all take 10 paces backwards.
Right.
Okay, everybody moves apart from everybody else, but nobody's privileged. There's nobody at the center. Of course, there's a center of the ring, but there's nobody at the center of the circumference of the ring.
Okay, it's...
And so you think of the universe in the same way, every bit moving away from every other bit. So there is no center. But we can talk about how long ago it was, and I mentioned it's about 14 billion years. And what that means is any direction in the sky you care to look, because there's no particular privileged center, so you can look in any direction, you look 14 billion light years, and you'll see the universe as it was at the beginning. You'll see the Big Bang, if you like, in every area of the sky, every patch of sky. You look back, and you see it, and you see this heat. You see this hot patch of sky. But, of course, we can't look right back to the first moment, because before about 380,000 years after the Big Bang, the universe was opaque. It was a glowing plasma like the sun. We can't look into the center of the sun.